Good evening. This is Mae Brussel. This program is titled World Watchers. It's program number 694, March 25th, 1985. Last week, I concluded the broadcast with an article from the San Diego Union on the meeting of the World Anti-Communist League in San Diego in 1984, in September 84. The date is very important of the meeting because Major General John Singlau was elected the president of the World Anti-Communist League at that meeting, and by December, he was in the Pentagon working with the Defense Department with Mr. General, retired General Lansdale from Vietnam, and Mr. Adderholt, another general from Vietnam. They had worked together in their operation group, and I'll be doing more on the connection of these two later. But the general who became the president of this group of Nazis, anti-Semites, racists, and death squads, particularly Central and South America, an American major general, heads the organization, and American representatives were at that meeting. This particular account describes the attendance. There were 98 different countries, and the article says that the United States delegates emphasized non-military solutions, but the international members advocated all types of intervention. So that must mean that it was 97-1, but the fact is that the one who's against the non-military solutions is funding a bulk of the money and the psychological support and the strategy and training for the death squads in every way we have participated in those in South and Central America. So we put it in the hands of the groups like the Knights of Malta that work with the military and the medical relief group that I'll be going into this week or in the next couple of weeks, and we act like we don't want military intervention while we sit with Nazis and death squad, and we bring the Nazis to this country and supply the teaching. The schools used to be in Panama, now they're moved back to Washington, and our special forces, the Green Beret, go down and teach torture, and Nazis teach torture and interrogations. So while the meeting is attended by American representatives, and another article I'll quote has some of them, this one mentions Ronald Reagan's advisor and Georgetown University professor Ray Klein. Ray Klein was a high official in the Central Intelligence Agency, and I don't believe he ever left that role. He's said on national television that his acquaintanceship with Reinhard Gehlen, I suppose while Gehlen was in the CIA, helping form the CIA before he went to Germany to take over the BND, his own intelligence apparatus, which is exactly what he was doing with Adolf Hitler or for Hitler before the war was over. The express goal of this meeting, according to this account, was to provide information and liaison necessary to counter worldwide campaign of subversion and disinformation and news manipulation that fuels communist drive towards world domination. Well, I don't think they will ever learn that disinformation and news manipulation is going to drive anybody to communism. They refuse to admit that if people are hungry, they will form another form of government, or that Russia under the Tsar had extreme cruelty and under the army of the Tsar so that the people couldn't stand it and were forced to organize and overthrow them. John Singlau mentioned at the conference that the colonial era, in that area, the living conditions were far superior to those in modern revolutionary nations. Well, the colonial era is what William Donovan and William Stevenson of the OSS and British intelligence were putting together. The way the British had treated the colonial nations that they controlled is what they were teaching the Americans, Alan Dulles and William Donovan, to apply to the countries that we would take care of when the war was over. Then John Singlau, who was the main speaker and became the president of the group, said the message is correct. You can quote me, the message that anti-communist nations around the world have to spread. We don't want any more communist nations. These 97 people, we're talking about some very poor nations with not much standing. Singlau and other delegates emphasized that the world cannot rest until all Soviet and Chinese governments are overthrown. I ended the program last week with that quotation and purposely repeated it, because what they're saying is we're going to have war against the Soviet Union, and I can just cut out my articles on the weapons contracts and the space arrangements and the Star Wars and the laser beams and the attack weapons that are going to be made, And the intent, such as Secretary John Layman of the Navy talking about when we go to Russia, using those expressions on Nightline, that the war will take place and Congress will not have any say or vote. As long as we elect representatives who give them every weapon they want, and these representatives said they can't come home and face the constituents unless they give them the money for Star Wars and World War III, then it's really in our hands, because we could say to those people, we want anti-war candidates, and that isn't very popular. This group, the World Anti-Communist League, have stated, and they did again at their meeting, in quotes, living conditions in the world are not responsible for international terrorism. The Soviets are. And I don't agree with that statement, and you can take it for whatever it's worth. Now, another article on the World Anti-Communist League meeting in San Diego was written by Mark Allen, called World Fascist Meet Was Greeted by Reagan. This is from the People's World, November 27, 1984. He says it was an international meeting that went almost unnoticed in the media, but not by the Reagan administration. The delegates to the World Anti-Communist League were in San Diego. It is a meeting of the world's most dangerous and well-organized fascists. Every Nazi, racist, anti-Semite, terrorists of every ilk, those who long for the lost days of Mussolini and Franco, and those committed to the rule of Stroessner and Pinochet. They were represented by the United States, and I mentioned this in the other article, by Ray Klein, advisor and former deputy director of the Central Intelligence Agency. And, of course, these former CIA are like former Nazis. I don't think that you can say that they aren't a part of that, just as James McCordigan and E. Howard Hunt were on the payroll of the CIA at the time of Watergate. How can you separate a former? Because Ray Klein and John Singlaub and these various characters down at this meeting go back to Washington, to the Defense Department, and to the Central Intelligence Agency, and link and work with the Knights of Malta, who are working with the Central Intelligence Agency. So he's not exactly a professor. He's still into the intelligence operation. And this article says, among those present was Adolfo Calero, head of the Nicaraguan Democratic Front, the CIA-backed group of Somoza's National Guard of mercenaries and bandits. Also present were representatives of the Pol Pot-led anti-government coalition from Campuchea and former agents of South Vietnamese dictatorship Nguyen Van Thieu. I've always just called him Thieu. And Mr. Premier Ky, former Premier Ky from South Vietnam. The South African-backed bandits were there fighting against the governments of Angola and Mozambique, and members of the resistance group from Afghanistan were there. The counter-revolutionary Cuban terrorist organization known as Alpha 66 was well represented, as well as the Italian social movement, the MSI, which is the heir to Mussolini's fascist party. Now, the Alpha 66 is and was formed by the Central Intelligence Agency, and Reverend Moon, who helped form the World Anti-Communist League, has members of the Alpha 66 writing for his Spanish newspaper in Los Angeles. He owns the Washington Times, and he keeps a paper for the Spanish-speaking people in Los Angeles and uses members of Alpha 66. The article goes on, the head of the World Anti-Communist League's Latin American branch and one of their most beloved spokesmen is Mario Sandoval Alarcón, founder of the Guatemalan National Liberation Movement, the MLN, which he calls the Party of Organized Violence. It is the White Hand Death Squad of Guatemala. He's the mentor of Salvador's death squad leader, Roberto Dobazon. And again, Dobazon goes back to close alliances with Jesse Helms, Senator Jesse Helms, who wants to take over CBS. And I don't have to repeat that all the time, but he's a big factor in this group, the World Anti-Communist League, and John Singlaub, because of their relationships to the Defense Department, to Congress, to the religious right, to the far right-wing movement, and the people now who actually hold the hunk of money that controls where these private armies go. The article, General John Singlaub is not only the president now of the World Anti-Communist League, but he's chairman of the U.S. Council for World Freedom, which is an affiliate of the Anti-Communist League. and he's a leading member of the American Security Council. And I'll be doing a lot more on this at the end of this program or into the next few weeks. He has his tentacles into the World Anti-Communist League, the U.S. Council for World Freedom, the American Security Council, which is a violently anti-communist branch of the United States military and business together, similar to the way that the World Commerce Corporation started an offshoot of it. This is the group that he is also a leading member of. It consists of former generals and intelligence agents and corporate bosses, and the American Security Council was formed in 1955. It started in Chicago as a mid-American research library with computers and data on people to inform the government about screening for jobs in the Defense Department, and they allegedly have 1,500 different firms for screening and 6 million file cards on various people. It was in the Torbett document describes under Permandex an operation, an umbrella for the assassination committees called DISC, Defense Industry Security Command. And they explain, the two authors of that document, and one worked for the CIA, that the purpose of that was to screen people working for weapon systems and missile stations and atomic bombs to make sure that they passed a security clearance. And a lot of people have said that that particular document couldn't be true because they couldn't locate that agency. But they may have been referring to something exactly like the organization that has these computers for people to get employment in the United States, known as American Security Council, with more than a million people to clear. That was way back in the 60s. And Defense Industry Security Command may be a branch of a private organization because the government and the Defense Department work through this for clearances and call there. And it may not be an actual part of the government, because then it would appear that the government was blacklisting, but you can go into a private organization and get information. I had this article titled World Fascist Meeting Greeted by Reagan continues on the origin of the World Anti-Communist League, because, as I said, it was formed in 1966, but preceding it, in 1954, was the Asian People's Anti-Communist League, and it was mobilized by Chiang Kai-shek and his KMT party, the Kuomintang party, and they provided the founders of the World Anti-Communist League with the president, the honorary president for life, and he was seen recently photographed with Ronald Reagan in their current publication. After the Asian People's Anti-Communist League and the World Communist Anti-Communist League was formed, based on the Asian People's Group, they didn't begin in Taiwan, where the other originated. They kept the one in Taiwan, and this was formed in South Korea, in Seoul, South Korea. And the main offices in South Korea at the Seoul Freedom Center were organized by Reverend Sung Ming Moon of the Unification Church. And I've done broadcasts on his relationship to Mr. Ryosha Sasakawa and Mussolini and the Brown Shirts and the Mussolini Party that is a part of the membership of the World Anti-Communist League. The funds for the Freedom Center, Reverend Moon, came from partly from the South Korean dictatorship. The Korean CIA is identical to the CIA. There is hardly a bit of difference. And other money came from Ronald Reagan's closest allies, even though in 1966 he wasn't in the White House. He just became governor in California and had a close link to all these organizations, very tight link. They put him into office, and the relationship had continued from the time his political career started. But the money came from people who are now his closest allies. Each of them worked their way up into the White House and into prominence. And the main manipulator for the funds from the Freedom League that went to Reverend Moon, along with the money from Taiwan and South Korea, came through the help of Mr. Richard Vagary, who paid $908,000 for helping Reverend Moon and the Korean Cultural Center and Freedom Foundation to raise money. He was a fundraiser. Now, Richard Vagary was a big shot who took over the Young Americans for Freedom and began his work there, and has done the mailing list for Jesse Helms and the YAF. And remember the origin of YAF, of William Buckley of the Central Intelligence Agency, and General Walker, who was in Munich, Germany, and brought fellows from Munich to Dallas at the time of the assassination. And then they were to take over the YAF. And Vagary worked his way up to the very highest levels, and now he's running for office in Virginia, and he's on television quite frequently. The first president of the United States World Anti-Communist League affiliate was Lee Edwards, former editor of Richard Vagary's Conservative Digest. And I might remind you that when I did a few programs on Reverend Moon and Koreagate, that in addition to Richard Vagary working for them, Sven Kramer's name mentioned in those documents, congressional hearings. Sven Kramer is the son of Fritz Kramer, the man who doesn't appear at all in public, the German with the monocle, and he is the political mentor and military mentor of Henry Kissinger and Alexander Haig and a lot of other these people that I'm mentioning. He had a big part in the Southeast Asian War as a plans officer of the Pentagon and was the superior over General Westmoreland, who ties in with these people from the World Anti-Communist League. There is a very incestuous relationship here between our Defense Department, our CIA, the death squads, the real Nazis, not the Neos. I keep clarifying that, and the relationship to people like Jesse Helms, who weave in and out with this particular organization. He's a member of it, and the intent, as I say, to take over one particular station that did embarrass General Westmoreland, who's close to these people. Now, some of friends of Ronald Reagan's who are members of the World Anti-Communist League include Senator Jesse Helms, Senator Strom Thurmond, Jake Garn of Utah. Garn is on a committee that decides the money for Star Wars and space stations, particularly the space stations, because there have been allegations in that book, Alternative 3, about the plans for genocide and extermination, using those as one-way stations to get rid of massive numbers of population. And if you see what these particular people are doing on planet Earth, would you trust yourself going into a space ride where they give you a one-way ticket? It would be a little bit scary. Two other supporters of the World Anti-Communist League are Fred and Phyllis Schlafly. They are on the board of Technicolor with Patrick Frawley, the man who decided and started Ronald Reagan's career. Lev Dobryansky, a co-founder of the World Anti-Communist League. Also, Fred and Phyllis Schlafly began funding Pat Robertson and the Christian Broadcasting, very close to him. J. Peter Grace helped Pat Robertson, too. And Mr. Fred Schlafly was chairman of the American Bar Association Special Committee during the Joseph McCarthy hearings. They were close to Joseph McCarthy. And getting back to Dobryansky, he's a member of that National Security Council. He's on the board of Young Americans for Freedom. He's on the board of American Friends of the Anti-Bolshevik Bloc Nations. And he's the author of a book, Captive Nations Week Resolution, that was passed by, a resolution passed by Congress. Now, this pretty well describes that meeting, and I'll go on to other articles, but there are quite a few Americans there. Oh, yeah, a member of the World Anti-Communist League. Another one is Marvin Liebman, a friend of Jesse Helms and Strom Thurmond, co-founder of the American Jewish League Against Communism, the Committee for Monroe Doctrine, Christian Anti-Communist Crusade, part of the American Chilean Council in 1975, and with three others, the charter member of the World Anti-Communist League to win support for Vietnam, the former agents of Mr. Thu and Mr. Key. He is very close to them, Martin Liebman. So another member of this group, American Estefany Pisonoi, you may have read his name in various articles, a member of the National Security Council, member of the American Security Council, the American Chilean Council, and he's connected with Lyndon LaRouche in the fusion industry and pushing that as fusion weapons and energy as a thing of the future. So I think you get a pretty good idea of John Singlaub's co-partners and buddies. Just to get the tone of John Singlaub, I wanted to go into the background of just the reporting of a particular meeting in San Diego where the writers selected a few little items for your education and interest. Now, there's two articles that were published in the Washington Post that I wanted to give more time to. I brushed through them too quickly because time ran out, and I want to put them in a order of succession and not pass them up as I build up to some other information pertinent to all of these people. The one that I'm referring to is titled Private Groups Press Contra Aid. Millions Raised in the United States. This is Washington Post, December the 10th, 1984. And on broadcast number 681, December 21st, 1984, I briefly mentioned this article, but left out a lot of names and the importance of the group that were meeting in Washington, D.C., because the common denominator here, again, is John Singlaub, who leaves his buddies in San Diego from the World Anti-Communist League, that motley crowd that I just have been listing some of the names and members and who attended the meeting. And after that was over, that was in September of 1984, by December, John Singlaub is in Washington with the highest echelons of the government. So that what the World Anti-Communist League really is the worldwide Odessa network working with our government. And as I said last week, I believe last week, that this fellow that worked in Hitler's youth was asked the question, remember, is there a chance of fascism coming in the United States? And he said, no, because the government is different, separated, and the people have freedom of speech. But in Germany, the government was fascist. But John Singlaub and various people that were cited in this article and will be in other material I mentioned are the government. And that's the point I want to keep reiterating, that they're not private. The title is called Private Groups Press Contra Aid. But they're not private. They are Defense Department and they are Intelligence Department. And they are made to appear as private, which is part of that early setup of the OSS and the CIA of covert action, of doing what they want, but under the cover that these are private people doing what they want to do with their time and money, but actually planning strategy along with the Defense Department. And the reason the strategy is in the open and published with the papers like the Washington Post or other papers is I don't think they care anymore. They have what they want in Reagan. Their goal was to get Nixon and Reagan into power. And we become helpless so they can report meetings and have it above board, because what can you do about it? Now, this article describes, in quotes, a network of conservative activists and former military and intelligence officials, including several members of a Pentagon advisory panel on Central America, have stepped up efforts to funnel private humanitarian aid to Nicaragua rebels. If they're conservative activists and assume they're retired military and retired intelligence, they're sitting with the current Pentagon, so what's the difference? If John Singlaub works with Nazis from Taiwan or Chile or down in South America or Central America, and if he's on the board of Western Goals with the late Larry McDonald, that organization with computers to the police departments around the country, and if he works with mysterious provocateurs such as John Reese and Louise Reese on the staff, formerly she worked with Senator Joe McCarthy, where does one era end and one start over, or is this continuous? And the answer is the era didn't end, and it is continuous, and it's building up. The article continues, millions were raised by retired General John Singlaub, president of the World Anti-Communist League. He raised $500,000 a month from wealthy United States citizens and groups since Congress cut off funds for the CIA-backed Contras. Well, this article explains that he has $500,000 a month, but why does it have to be that he raised it? If the intelligence community budget is $22 billion a year, how would you separate that money from CIA money? I asked that question when I wrote my first article on why was Martha Mitchell kidnapped. How do you separate the GOP money from the CIA money when it's all in the same bank, handled by the same hands? He raised $500,000 a month from wealthy citizens. And the point is this, when Congress again elected to cut off the money, they have the money to do what they want. At that point, the American people, as of December the 10th, 1984, should have been screaming and yelling, but there isn't a word out there. There's total silence that somebody can pick up any amount of money he wants, do anything he wants with this kind of action and those kinds of people, and there's people, and there's not a word. It says what Singlaub will do, he will do with others who have sent millions of dollars, is buy uniforms and food and medicine and other aid for Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala. And that is fine. Uniforms, medicine, aid, and to Honduras and Guatemala. And he's also affiliated with the group, the next article that I had briefly on the air and want to continue more on, the Knights of Malta that have sent $14 million down there. Now, the more money you sent to take care of all their other needs, then they can use the money they have to buy weapons. So the weapons are doing the killing and making the orphans, as I said before. So while he buys food, medicine, and other aid to these three countries, then the countries continue to arm as they want. And if they're doing it privately, and if the Defense Department is coordinating the private aid, isn't that the policy of the United States government? Way out of control, as I said last week when they formed the CIA, the contingency to break the Constitution, take it away from the intelligence community. This is a perfect example of what happened in 1947 when the executive order went in, or beginning with William Donovan and the OSS and preceding the OSS. If the Congress says, and again, if you can't have it, and if private people are doing it, how come the Defense Department delivers it? And if they deliver it on their airplanes and with their aides, how do we know it isn't going into the Defense Department? The article says a private institute was formed by John Singlaub and called the Institute for Regional and International Studies in Boulder, Colorado, to train police force in Salvador and possible Contra soldiers if the U.S. government will not. Well, he sits in the Defense Department. The defense delivers everything. And if the Defense Department's hands are tied in any way, then he has the Institute for Regional and International Studies to do what he wants. And then it goes on to say that Alexander M.S. McColl, and I'll be using that name a lot, M.C., small c, capital C-O-O-L, the Military Affairs Advisor from Soldiers of Fortune, a magazine, will be the director of the Boulder Institute and give technical assistance in El Salvador. So now we bring in a new element, the Soldier of Fortune, and John Singlaub helped found that with Mr. Brown, the same Brown that was part of the Christian Defense League, with Edgar Eugene Bradley, with Colonel William Gale, training with Charles Willoughby, the Soldier of Fortune mercenaries that became the private armies that send soldiers anywhere is directly linked to the intelligence community and the Defense Department. So Singlaub goes from meetings of the World Anti-Communist League right to the Defense Department, heads up his own group called the Institute for Regional and International Studies in Boulder, Colorado, and then they're trained by a man, Mr. McColl, who works for Soldier of Fortune now and gives technical assistance in El Salvador, and these are the magazines that sell the Nazi regalia, the books on how to kill, the instructions on domestic terrorism and sabotage and offensive weapons with silencers. And I'll do more on the Soldier of Fortune as soon as I can, but I want to lay the groundwork for the interweaving of these organizations. The article continues private. This is one on the private groups. General H.C. Adderholt, and I didn't stress his name enough on the first broadcast I did on this, said that the Defense Department hasn't helped much because of congressional opposition. Hasn't helped much. He is head of the Air Commando Association, and I'll be doing a great deal on him, of Fort Walton Beach, Florida, and he has distributed so far $4.5 million in food and medicine in El Salvador, provided by the Christian Broadcasting Network and the Medical World Medical Relief, which will be proven to be a hand-in-glove relationship with the Central Intelligence Community. Now, Pat Roberts of the Christian Broadcasting Company was not only funded by Phyllis and Fred Schlafly, but by J. Peter Grace. The Alliance of Grace, of course, goes to the Nazis and IG Farben, the chemical companies, and a lot more in Germany, and the Flick organization, Frederick Flick, and various people who were prosecuted in the Nuremberg trial and released. But he helped Mr. Pat Robertson get started, and this broadcasting then, in turn, puts up funds and food, what they call food and medicine, but those products of food and medicine are mingled with military activity in South America. So Mr. Adderholt, who heads the World Medical Relief, is directly tied to the CIA and the Pentagon, but he's complaining because Congress hasn't helped much, and they have to have an organization in Colorado to train people and they have plenty of places around the United States to train, them, because the Defense Department's hands are tied. Can you imagine what this country and world would be like if their hands weren't tied, if you look at what they're doing now? I'll take a one-minute break and then get on to more articles pertaining to the way the power group moves from private organizations into the Defense Department and intelligence community and carries on their own wars.